We're going to begin. Allow me to lead us in prayer as we start. The psalmist says, "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things out of your law." We pray this, living Lord God, that you would speak to us now, each to our own hearts and together as your people. Please shape and refine us under the saving lordship of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I'd be grateful if you would keep your Bibles open to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and the passage that we just had read. I popped over to the North Sydney Farmers Market yesterday. It was bustling. Second time open since lockdown. I was so excited. There is Sonoma bread there, which you'll know is excellent. Organic beef fur noodles in packs that you can buy. And the customary market knife sharpening service. You know what I mean? I wonder why they're always there. They always seem to be on the back of a motorcycle for some reason, but I'm glad that they are there. I was very, very excited. I was excited because it exists, but the main reason I was excited was because we have all these people on our doorstep in the community twice a month on a Sunday. And immediately I was thinking, as you might guess, how we could connect with these people and bring them into our presence, onto our site, and to connect with them such that they might come and hear the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought about market stalls that we could have in the car park, a bouncy castle, perhaps. We could have barista Jonathan Morris undercutting the competition by selling free single origin St. Thomas's Guatemalan roasts. We could have the church building open for history tours that weave in the gospel. We could have our own St. Thomas's stall, giving a chance to connect and invite and welcome. I got chatting to Lindsay from the community centre who runs the market to see what might be possible. I can already see the wardens getting nervous and anxious about what might be happening. Don't worry, we'll discuss it at breakfast on Tuesday. As we know from this letter, the purpose of our church here at St. Thomas's and any Church of God's people is to be this pillar and buttress of the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ to the lost world around us. And the opportunity God has given us here at St. Thomas's is extraordinary. And it really, really matters, our connection with others. Not because it's nice to have more in our warm community. No, because North Sydney Farmers Market's business, that is organic bread and organic sausages. Our business is the salvation of the lost from hell to heaven. The church is not a cruise liner. The church is a rescue boat. And God has given us this extraordinary privilege in our place at our time. Verse 16 summarizes Paul's message to Timothy in these verses. If we remember nothing else, remember these verses, this verse, and what it says. Paul to Timothy, "Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers." The stakes could not be higher. Salvation of ourselves and our hearers. This letter has shown us that God's purpose and passion is rescuing. Verse 10, just above, "He is the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe, who put their trust in him." We praise God that he has rescued desperate, dying, needy sinners like us who bring nothing to God but our sin. But praise him that he now uses us as his church for his rescue mission, to be his rescue boat to the world around us. The stakes are so very high. The ministry of the local church in any given situation is the most important thing happening at any time in history. And these verses show us what kind of ministry that we are to have that achieves that end. You'll remember in chapter 3, verse 14 to 16, we said we had the centerpiece of this letter, the outline of what is the secret of godliness, not a theory, but a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, what he has done for us. That is the centerpiece. That is the secret to godliness. That is what transforms people's lives, that news. And that news alone. But then in chapter 4, verses 1 to 5, Paul returns to the threat to this church in Ephesus, which is this man-generated legalism that has gripped the church, that ultimately finds its origin in Satan and his lies. Then here now in chapter 4, verses 6 to 16, Paul zeroes in on Timothy himself, the minister of the church, and speaks directly about his own life and ministry before the lens zooms out again in chapter 5, verse 1, to speak about family relationships in the church. In verses 6 to 10, Paul's subject is the private life of Timothy. Very sobering words for any minister of the gospel. What Paul says there is that for the church to be effective in its salvation task, the personal godliness of the minister is paramount. Robert Murray M'Cheyne, famous Scottish pastor of the 19th century, "The greatest need of my people is my personal holiness." Sobering words for someone like me. 6 to 10, Timothy's private life, but now verses 11 to 16, Timothy's public ministry. And here's the question: what kind of ministry, what kind of church is going to fulfill its great purpose? In the first place, these words are to the Timothy figure. It starts with the minister. I have the awkward situation of preaching to myself at the moment, but not just to me. As we know, these words are for everybody to be listening into in the church in Ephesus. And Paul says in verse 12 that he, Timothy, is to be an example to the rest of the congregation. Paul addresses Timothy, and Timothy is a worked example, as it were, of what we are all to be, individually and as a church. So that question again, what kind of ministry is the ministry that saves? Well, Paul tells us two things that are intimately and intricately connected. The ministry that saves is a teaching ministry, because teaching saves. I wonder if you noticed three times in the verses, Paul instructs Timothy that his ministry is to be centered upon, to be immersed in, to be devoted to teaching, to the teaching of the Word of God, the message about Jesus Christ and his salvation. Of course, that makes sense, doesn't it? After what we've seen in chapter 3, verse 16, of all the things in the world that can change people, of all the things that can save, there is one thing alone, the secret of godliness, the message of Jesus Christ, words about him. Therefore, teaching is paramount. The false teachers were, chapter 1, verse 4, you might remember, devoting themselves to unbiblical myths and endless genealogies. But that didn't work. It had no power. Timothy, however, verse 13, devote yourself to what? To the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you see also in verse 11, the manner of the teaching? Command and teach these things. Command, that is to say, it's not enough to be just detached and to pontificate from a pulpit. You have to order the church life in such a way that the teaching is actually grounded in the life experience. Paul is expecting the minister to follow through in the details of what he said, to organize a church such that, as we've seen, prayer for the salvation of the lost is priority number one, such that the roles and responsibilities as men and women is put back into the beautiful creation order, such that the selection of those appointed to positions of leadership and service is done so on the criteria of godliness above other worldly outward forms. Command and teach these things. These things being what he's just said in verse 10, the message of the gospel, the message of a life that is reordered under the saving rule of Jesus. Wasn't it so good to hear from Dan and Liv about the way that the ministry of the gospel changes people and transforms people? This is a message that has power to turn lives around. It is only when somebody comes under the saving lordship of Jesus that their lives are reordered according to what God intended. That is where the power is. That is our responsibility. Verse 11, command and teach these things. And verse 13, Paul says to Timothy, until I come, devote yourself. Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. Every time we are gathered by the Word of God. We listen to God by his living word. God is present with us in his scriptures. That is our focus. Be devoted to that, Timothy. be devoted to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation. It's a word that can also be translated encouragement or preaching. It's a word used to describe what Paul did in his explanation and exposition of the truth of the Scriptures that had just been read out in the synagogue in Acts 13. That is that all of the Old Testament Scriptures aren't just a sort of bland collection of words about funny traditions and a history of a certain people. It all finds its fulfillment and climax and focus on a man, on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. That is what Timothy is to do, to show us how the Scriptures are finding their focus and their point of climax in the Lord Jesus. Until I come, devote yourself to public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and to teaching again and again. It is the truth of the gospel reverberating in our lives and hearts that will bring transformation and save others. And did you notice that he is to be devoted to it? That is to say, for Timothy, it isn't a sideline hobby. It's not something he squeezes in between committee meetings for the vestry renovation or the board for the preschool or CrossFit classes, which this particular minister needs to get into. No, he is to be devoted to this thing. Priority number one, obsession. Verse 14, do not neglect the gift you have, which I think in the context must be the gift of his teaching ministry, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. The specifics of how Timothy received his gifts are unclear here, I think, but the very clear thing is that the origin is from God, a gift given from God, and it's also come by recognition from others, elders, responsible Christians. That is to say that Timothy didn't just appoint himself as pastor in Ephesus and say, here I am, I'm in charge. But the big point Paul is making to Timothy is do not neglect it. Value it, treasure it, work on it, train in it, grow in it, because it is so important for yourself, yes, but vital for the people whom you serve. Timothy, devote yourself to the teaching. You are not to be a counselor, first and foremost. You're not a business manager, despite the various things that are on your plate. You're not an entertainer. That's not your job. You are a teacher, because it is the Word of God that saves. That must be the focus. Verse 16, the ministry that saves is a teaching ministry, and therefore keep a close watch on yourself and the teaching, because persisting in this, you will save both yourself and your hearers. A saying that is given to some young ministers out of college is never be seen out of your study before lunchtime, never be seen in your study after lunchtime. I think that's a good idea. The idea is that the morning should be given to a deep focus on the study of the Scriptures so that you can teach others. Therefore, when you see me at St. Thomas's next time, outside of my study, before 1 o'clock, you can say, Mickey, get back in there. That is your job. It's a silly quip, but actually that is true. The focus must be, and what we should be looking for in our ministers, whether here or wherever we go, is somebody who is devoted to the teaching of the Scriptures, because that is where health and life is found. I'm so grateful that Simon, my predecessor, and John more recently got this priority right. Praise God that St. Thomas's is a church that knows this as a conviction, but may that be the case for the years to come. Churches have reputations, don't they? Some for music and lively worship, others for excellent practical care in the community, others for a buzzing social scene where you might meet a marriage partner. I hope we have that one too. But the focus is, and the focus must be, the reputation must be, this is a place where you will hear the truth of Jesus Christ clearly, deeply, such that you are equipped, that you are saved, and that others might be also. That is where the power is. Why? Because, brothers and sisters, we are in a war zone. We're in a war zone where the weapons are words and the enemy is a liar. And the world is not neutral territory. We are in a spiritual battle. Chapter 4, verse 1, Paul identifies deceitful spirits and teaching of demons propagated by these false teachers. Any idea, any teaching, whatever its source, that takes you away from Jesus Christ and his salvation is ultimately demonic. Satan is real, and his weapon is words, the lies of this world. And the church is alone the place that we find the truth in the sea of lies, where we find food in a world that is starving, where we find refreshing water in a place of thirst. Ministry that saves is the ministry devoted to the truth of Jesus Christ. What Paul says here is true, of course, for Timothy, but more than him. Everyone is listening in. It should be for all of us. Any ministry of teaching that we are involved with, whether formal or informal, is so vitally important. It is part of this battle, this war of words that leads to salvation or to eternal death. Whether we're a small group leader in one of the adult small groups, or a Sunday school leader, or in the youth group, in Lights, in SRE, in our own family situations as fathers, as the teachers of our children's souls, whether we are reading the scriptures with a non-Christian friend or witnessing to a member of our extended family, what we're engaged in is rescue work, the most important work that you can do. And therefore, we are to take it seriously. It's not a hobby. Devote yourself to it, says Timothy. I have the great privilege of being set aside by you to devote myself to it. But all of us, in whatever capacity, whatever responsibility we have, devote ourselves to this task. I was in email correspondence this week or just before with John Turner, and he mentioned in passing, not boasting in any way, but just as a matter of fact, as we were discussing things, that as a house group leader, he puts in, on average, 3 hours of preparation per week alongside his busy job for that work. Some might say that's obsessive. I say that's right. Of course it is, because it is vitally important, because the Word of God matters so much. You'll have read this week in the bulletin our plans for central discipleship groups in 2022. The reason for this isn't that we might have a nice time all together. It is because it is about the ministry of the Word of God, about making the truth that saves easily accessible to anybody who might come through our doors as we gather centrally, but also about strengthening the ministry of our small group leaders who are already so excellent, but helping them do their job even better. Because the Word of God is where it's at. That's where the power is. Teaching. It's teaching that saves. Teaching matters. A church that is going to fulfill its purpose is one where the Word of God, the Scriptures, being taught, reverberate in every aspect of our lives. Not because we're bookworms and we're interested in that thing. No, because that is where the power lies. That's where we meet Christ. That's how people are saved. The stakes really are that high. Teaching saves, but also living saves. Did you notice that in verse 12? Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. It's not enough for teaching alone. The truth needs to be taught, but also seen. We are to be a pillar and buttress of the truth. The truth heard, but also the truth observed through both lip and life, both verbally, but also visually. The HSC is happening at the moment. There'll be plenty who have been using worked examples for maths problems. Timothy is to be a worked example for all to see. And we are to be worked examples for others to see. The gospel brings transformation, but we must live in line with that transformation if our message is to be believed and people are to be persuaded. We may know of recent examples where that hasn't happened, where ministers of the gospel have failed to be consistent, where the transformation has not gone through from the pulpit into the life situation. Think of people like Mark Driscoll in America and Ravi Zacharias in America, and Jonathan Fletcher in the UK. I've just come from that situation. I can tell you, the damage is like napalm. It is absolutely disastrous. But that is not how it is to be. Timothy, a younger man under the age of 40. That's how they counted it in those days. I'm very glad I'm 39. I just sneak in. But of course, there's a difficulty for him because he's teaching people who are more experienced in the Christian life than him. Some who are the age of his father, even grandfather in some cases. And how does he get over this awkwardness, this real problem? The answer isn't to stand on his rights and say, well, I'm the minister, you must listen to what I do. The Bible is so clever in this way because it's so true. No, he's to persuade them by the quality of his life. Verse 12, he gets a hearing by the life that is led that demonstrates the truth and the worth of the gospel he preaches. Timothy, you are to be an example in speech, says Paul. That is what you say, but also how you say it. Timothy, in conduct, that is in your life, your living, how your life is outside the pulpit as well as in. In love, love which is the characteristic of the Lord Jesus Christ, and only true love comes from him, to be like him in your service of others. In faith, that is you yourself also being one who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ for all you have. And in purity, not even a hint of immorality in your life. Life saves as well as teaching saves. A scary thought, a sobering thought, but true. Paul says to Timothy, keep a close watch on yourself. That is on your life, verse 16, because that really matters. The gospel is this one thing in the world that really brings transformation. The legalism of the false teachers had no power. Man-generated self-improvement has no effect. Go down to Dimmicks and go to the self-help improvement section. All of that stuff, you can take it away because it doesn't help in the end, ultimately. It doesn't bring real change and transformation. The only thing is the powerful word of the Lord Jesus Christ and the forgiveness that he brings. That's what produces love. That is what gives the pure heart. That's what gives the good conscience, chapter 1, verse 5. But we must allow that truth to transform us. We are saved, yes. God has done everything for us, but the journey is still ahead. Hebrews 12, we're still on the race. Pilgrim's Progress, we are walking to the celestial city. And as we do so, we must do so in such a way that not only ourselves are saved, but that others might see. And this focus on reputation comes up over and over and over again in this letter, as we'll see, especially in the second half of the letter. And that is a message to us, all of us, as hearers of God's word, that we might allow the word of God to transform us, that we might be consistent in our lives, that people might see and come and meet with the Lord Jesus. What is it that we are praying for and prizing among those who serve us in the ministry of the word of God? It is that they are godly and that their lives match what they teach. I want to give us a small encouragement. I was told this week from a reliable source that somebody, a father, was invited, were looking to bring their son to Lights here, which is run by Jared O'Brien, who's leading. He doesn't know about this. But I was told that this father, very wisely, decided upon coming to Lights, not immediately, but spent a little while watching Jared's life and observing. And praise God, he saw a consistency, and now he sent his son into Lights. Very wise thing to do, in fact. Very biblical thing to do from the father. I don't quite know how he was watching. Maybe he had a telescope from the roof or something like that. I don't know how he did it, but somehow he did. And what a challenge and what an encouragement to us. Another encouragement, I met somebody yesterday at this market who has visited last week, and God willing will be coming this evening as well. And he said, I've never met such a warm and inviting and friendly group of people in my whole life. Praise God for that. It's not by accident. It's true for ministers. It's true for us all to be an example, to be the plausibility structure, to be the living apologetic of the gospel. And this brings us towards our end, verse 15, where both elements, the teaching and the living, are brought together. He says, practice these things, the teaching and the living. Immerse yourself in them. That is literally, be these things, the NIV. Give yourself wholly to them. Not just a Sunday Christian, but a whole of life devotion to the truth, that transforms and the life that comes. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. What a precious word. Progress. For those of us who are sinners, in case you don't think you count, you do. All of us. We're not perfect, but we're not once what we once were. God is working in and through us by this living word, and may we allow others to see our progress, and as they see that, see the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as we close, allow me to read again this verse, which would be a good memory verse for us to take and learn and keep in our minds and hearts. Verse 16, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save yourself and your hearers. Let's pray. Father, we are overwhelmed by the magnitude of your grace to us and overawed by the magnitude of the task that you give us. It is, in a sense, very fearful that we are on display in our lives, that the truth that we teach and that we listen to is so powerful and so significant. We pray that you would have mercy on us each individually, that you would enable us to make progress in our lives, that we would be people devoted to the scriptures, whether as teachers or as hearers, such that we ourselves would be saved, but also many, many others through our witness. Amen.